Spent some time in the country, live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show that puts country music front and center. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
New Brunswick country artist Ivan Daigle has been enjoying national attention as one of the semi-finalists on Canada's Got Talent. But of course, before that and his time in the spotlight, he put in years working on his skills as a singer and songwriter. He's opened up shows for George Canyon, the Wilkinsons, and Joe Diffie, to name just a few. Let's welcome Ivan Daigle to the show. Hey, Ivan.
How you doing, Dave?
Doing just great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm just sitting out on the back deck enjoying the evening.
Awesome. It sounds very relaxing now. Pretty exciting times, and of course, so many our listeners are going to know this. And the last month or so with Canada's Got Talent putting in the national spotlight, can you give us a general feeling of how that feels?
Well, I'm pretty much covered in goosebumps 24/7. It's everything I can do to get any sleep. It's everything I can do to get any sleep, and it's just been a really crazy time.
So when I was watching the performance you did, your first one on with singing Raymond, the country song that you covered, such a beautiful song. I want to ask you, first of all, choosing that song to audition for it, such a powerful song, and then getting that great reaction from the judges.
We labored over which song to choose. And we just kept coming back to it because, I mean, it's one of my absolute favorites. And I turned to Bonnie and I said, you know, what songs should we do? And we went through a pile of them, and we just seemed to be coming back to Raymond every time because it's just such a powerful message. From a songwriting point of view, it's a perfectly written song.
It is. It tells so much in that 3 or 3.5 minute song. The first time I heard it on the radio when it came out in the last couple of years, it just moved me. I mean, it is one of those songs. As you said, from a songwriting perspective, probably one of those you wish you had written.
Oh, definitely. Or at least been in the room when it was being created.
Right. Definitely. And again, a moving song, and the judges were moved. I mean, their reactions were just so real and just so terrific. And, of course, Martin Short had some great things to say. Have you had a chance to meet Martin, like, off stage?
I unfortunately did not. I've been following his career since the 80s, the first time I saw him. Or I guess it would have been the early 80s, late 70s, when I saw him on SCTV. And being just a kid
right
at the time, I didn't get the humor, as it were. But then all of a sudden, this guy with pointy hair shows up on stage, and he's dancing around with his pants pulled up to his chest, basically, and he's doing the whole Ed Grimley thing. And I just from that point just became a diehard fan.
Yeah, he is so funny, and just when he's being himself in interviews and just the energy he brings. So that reaction, how did you feel as that was happening? It must have been pretty surreal that you got such an overwhelmingly positive reaction.
Well, it was one thing, you know, to go out knowing that hoping that I'd pick the best song that
right.
I could find. But the reaction, the standing ovation and just, you know, the words that they said were just, it's just outstanding. I mean, I couldn't get over it. It was fantastic. It's all part of a dream now. I almost have to watch it every once in a while just to remind myself what they said.
Yeah, for sure. And our listeners who haven't seen it yet or want to see it again, of course, can head to YouTube and check that performance out. Take us back to when you first auditioned, or there was a day in February when I guess the crew came to see you and the host Dina was there as well. And you weren't ready for how much of a production and the backstory they were going to use on the show.
Yeah, that was one hell of a night. Let's put it like that. We were having one of the worst blizzards in recent memory, you know, in southeastern New Brunswick, And I got a call from the producer at 5:30 in the evening, and he called, and like a fool, I had my phone turned down, so I missed it. So I had to call him back, and he said, and I thought, oh my goodness, they're canceling because they're stuck somewhere. I didn't know what to think. And all of a sudden, he said, no, I was just calling to make sure that you weren't canceling. I said, his name is Cliff. I said, Cliff, I said, I don't cancel shows. Shows have been canceled, but I do not. I've always kind of kept that as a pride point, if you will, that I've never had to cancel a show due to bad weather or anything like that, even if nobody shows up, which I can assure you has happened more than once in the last 2 decades.
I'm sure that won't happen anymore, of course, but so that must have been pretty cool to have that kind of attention. At that point, you knew that things were off to a good start.
It was just an unbelievable thing. She walked in the door, and all I could, I looked at her, and it was just like, I couldn't believe she was there. And the strangest thing, I know everybody at some point in their life has had that moment that seemed to last an hour, but all I could do was look down under boots, and I thought, why are your boots covered in snow? And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, oh my God, you're Dina Pugliese. And and I was just stammering, and you know, it was stuttering the whole shoot match. It was a heck of a thing, that's for sure.
Now, to make the decision, Ivan, to audition for the show, I mean, there's a lot of people who sometimes maybe they're nervous or they can't go for their dreams, you know, they can't get the courage up, but what sort of prompted you to go after this, an audition?
To go after the audition, well, we originally went in October for the open audition.
Right.
And we drove from Petticoat to Halifax, did the audition, which lasted virtually no time at all. I was in a room with four other people, a producer, a camera person. And then when we found out that we were shortlisted, well, that changed everything. So then at that point, it was really about choosing the right song. I'd actually done a song that I'd written with my co-writer. I'm going to give him a little plug here, Mr. Larry Wayne Clark, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best writers, you know, that Canada's ever produced. Larry spent a lot of time in Nashville and had some nice cuts by Lee Greenwood, you know, back in the 90s, and had some cuts by the Statler Brothers. He actually had a release by J.D. Bixby early last year, which did very well. And, so I performed an original song, and when we got the call back, they said, well, you can just do the same song again, and I thought, well, that's, you know, because it's an original song, maybe it wouldn't be a good idea. So then at that point came the narrow down process of which song to do. And then again, when we finally made our way back to the song Raymond, I just felt that it was the best song that could be chosen at that point. And to be perfectly honest, I say it was the best song that I could choose, when in fact it was Bonnie who brought it to my attention. You should do the song Raymond.
Oh, great. Sometimes we have to listen to the women in our lives, right?
Oh, that goes without saying. that is a foregone conclusion.
That's right. Well, yeah, it is such a, she's got great taste, because that is, as we've said, such a great song to perform. What are some of your other favorite songs out there, whether it's new ones, Ivan, or the classic songs? Because I know you're a big fan of the classic country songs. What are some of your other favorite covers to do?
Covers to do? Well, I mean, there's always, you know, there's a lot of, I call them staples in my set. You know, I still do White Lightning, the old George Jones classic.
Yeah.
Still do on a regular basis Jambalaya, the old Hank Williams. And really, it's just so that, you know, if I have a different kind of demographic in the crowd, whether they be younger, whether they be older, you know, I like to make sure that I kind of try to do the best I can to span the generations. But for the most part, I feel that when I'm doing a song, I'm going to make it country, regardless of what it is.
Exactly. Your voice is going to do that to it. So do you ever take songs from other genres that aren't traditionally country songs or aren't even country songs at all, and put a country spin on it?
I have done that. I will do, and it's usually only upon request, maybe towards the end of the night. I still do Jim Croce's Don't Mess Around with Jim.
Nice, yeah.
And
that song lends itself to country.
This is true. And I heard a fantastic version by Josh Turner doing that song. And for anybody who's never heard Josh Turner do it, it's a real treat. It's an absolute treat, and then some. And I think I do a more Josh Turner-ish version than I do, say, Jim Croce.
Right, because you've got a voice a little more similar to Josh.
Well, this is true, and you play your strengths based on your vocal ability or the type of note that you can do, and I don't have any issues with playing that up. You know, I'm a firm believer that you kind of find what you do and play to the best strengths that you have.
And that makes sense to me, because every artist is got to find their own style. And these shows like Idol, which I watch, but, you know, they have the kids sing so many different genres. I guess that's interesting, but ultimately, as an artist, you need to just find what you do best. And even if that's all you do, that's what people want to hear, right? They don't want to hear you sing opera and jazz. They want to, in your case, hear you sing country songs.
That goes without saying. Sure, it really is the type of thing where I've had people come up and say, you know, do you do any Creedence, or do you do any, you know, things that can lend themselves to the country, let's say, you know, side with country a little more than rock. But I've maybe been a little too strict on myself to stick with mostly, what I consider country music. And it's never so much about the artist singing, it's always about the song. I always try to find the absolute best song that I can. If you come to an Ivan Daigle show, there's no question that you're going to hear country music.
That's a great thing, because there are so many country fans out there, younger, older, who want to hear country music, of course, and it's nice to know that that's what they're going to get. Let's turn to one of the songs. You mentioned Larry Wayne Clark earlier, of course, the award-winning producer, songwriter, all those big hits. You've done some writing with him. And the song that we're going to share is called You Can Stop the Music. And I heard this, you sent it to me for the first time the other day. It's such a moving song, the way you deliver it, the way it's written. Tell us the story behind it, Ivan.
The story behind it, there's really, to be perfectly honest, not much of a story. I came up with the title, and for some reason I still remember when. It was 1998, so you're looking at a 14-year-old title. And I just had the line, "You can stop the music, I know this song," and I really wasn't sure which direction to go in. But I just, for some reason, I liked it. And I brought it to Larry one night, and I said, you know, I've got this one line. I said, and that's really all it is. And I pitched it to him, and he said, "Oh, well, let's put something together." So within the next hour or two, you know, we kind of carved out what we felt was the biggest part of the song. And a couple of days later, he emailed me some lyrics, and he said, "You know, tell me what you think of these." So I went over them like I always do, but with Larry, there's so few things that I'm able to pick apart, because he has that that knowledge, and he has the experience, which is, you know, far greater than mine. Again, he spent all those years in Nashville. I unfortunately, haven't had that opportunity. But the fact that he was there, I mean, he really knows about the songwriting craft. And right. Make no bones about it, it is a craft. You know, some people say, "Oh, well, what about inspiration? There's no question that you need to be inspired to write a song. Sometimes it's something I would have seen on television. Something. A lot of times, it really starts with a line. You know, I've I don't want to say stolen, but I've taken I've taken maybe the idea of something that I heard someone say.
Sure.
And whether it's just somebody in passing, in conversation, whatever the case might be, every once in a while I'll just kind of blitz out, and Bonnie will look at me and she'll say, What line did you hear? And I'll say, I'm not really sure what I heard. And then I'll obviously run and get my pen and paper, and I'll just kind of jot it down. And it might be for a later date. But getting back to the title for Stop the Music, again, all I really had was the title. So
the title.
So I told Larry, I said, yeah. So we went over it a few times, and, you know, we thought it was quite a strong set of lyrics. Right. And so I got to his place one day, and he said, "Listen," he said, I didn't throw it together. I put down an acoustic track, and he said, "Do you want to just sing the demo?" And so what you're actually hearing is Larry playing two different guitars and a two-take demo that was done in his office.
Amazing. That's sort of, I guess, where the rawness of it comes from. It's just that simply arranged, I guess.
Oh, very much so, and I'm a big fan of that. I'm a firm believer, and I know you know, Dave, you've written songs, and you're familiar with the process and all those kinds of things.
Yep.
But to me, if the song can't stand alone, then
right.
there's a better than off chance that you're not going to hear me perform it, because we've all written songs that there's a good chance that nobody will ever hear. It may have been something you were going through. You just had to get the words out for yourself. You may have sang it a few times and went, yeah, it's not much of a song, but I needed to kind of get it across, whether it was cathartic or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to get those words out, and sometimes guys like you and me, we may not be much for talking, but we can put it down, you know.
You can say it in a song. This is so true. So true.
Exactly.
And that's the power of a song. Well, let's share this one now, and we'll come back and talk more, Ivan. Let's share the song first. Ivan Daigle, co-written with Larry Wayne Clark. This is You Can Stop the Music on In the Country.
You can tell that guitar man don't play another chord. Tell that old piano man don't touch those keys no more. Tell that pretty singer she can pack up and go home. You can stop the music, I know this song. I know how that melody can cut you till you bleed. I remember every word she sang along with me. So pour me more whiskey, 'cause her memory's almost gone. You can stop the music, 'cause I know this song. I don't need a fiddle or a steel guitar to help. I can stir up memories and fall apart all by myself. I recall how sweet it started and how it ended up all wrong. Stop the music, 'cause I know this song. I know how that melody can cut you till you bleed. I remember every word she sang along with me. So pour me one more, 'cause her memory's almost gone. You can stop the music, 'cause I know this song. Yeah, pour me one more whiskey, 'cause her memory's almost gone. And you can stop, I know this song. Go ahead and stop the music, 'cause I know.
A great country song from Ivan Daigle, co-written with Larry Wayne Clark. That is called You Can Stop the Music here on In the Country. You can learn more about Ivan at ivandaigle.com. It's such a beautiful song, Ivan, and as I was listening to it, I was hearing a bit of Keith Whitley in there, and no doubt probably an influence.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing that I can say about Keith Whitley that would be a positive thing. Obviously, we lost him at too early an age. And, he's always been one of my musical heroes. There's no question about it. When
you can definitely hear that. He had such great songs. And, you've captured just so much. And it's pure country, which is great. But speaking of pure country, Joe Diffie, I know, is one of your heroes. I've loved him over the years. I've had a chance, actually, to interview him on the show. He's a great vocalist. What was it like opening up shows for him?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, I saw him in passing because there was so much, confusion, so many things going on. I shook his hands about as close as I got. And, I'm sure he's heard it before. Oh, you're fantastic and you're this and you're that. I was virtually speechless. I just looked at him and I said, I love your music. He said, thanks very much. I said, I've been following your career since, before it actually hit radio. Because I had a friend of mine who was living in Nashville and had sent me a demo of Joe singing, and to this day I don't even recall what the song was, but it was something that was a hit for, could have been George Strait or something like that, but he was a demo singer for a bunch of years in Nashville, and when his career took off, it was just like a bat out of hell,
Oh, he had so many great songs when he had that streak of hits. If the Devil Danced in Empty Pockets, of course, an early one, a great catchy song. He had so many hits. He could do the up-tempo, almost novelty songs, Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox If I Die, and then he could do the heartbreaking songs, Ships That Don't Come In being one of them.
One of my absolute favorites, to be perfectly honest. It's always been about the story. When I write, I try to make sure that there's not too much fluff, even though we're going to find it, whether you realize it or not when you're writing or when you're performing. I try to make sure that any song that I do has at least some kind of message. But again, you've always got what I like to call a filler, which is always kind of a good time, get people hand clapping and those kinds of things. But, you do what you can when you're pounding away on acoustic guitar for 3 hours a night and people are either completely paying your attention or don't even, they don't know you. They either don't know you're there, or when you stop, they go, oh, are you done?
And I guess it depends on the venue, right? I mean, if you're doing a place where people are really listening, you can do the songs like Raymond and some of your own. But maybe if it's more of a bar where people are, talking and not listening, you don't need to necessarily have the heavy lyrical content going on because they're not going to be hearing that.
Exactly. It's more about, like I said, about the hand clapping and the yee-haw and the oo-haw and all that kind of stuff. So it makes for a good time. I mean, I have always enjoyed performing, and only, the last, I would say probably the last 5 years, I've kind of, and maybe the words coming into my own is about as close as I can get to a description.
Okay.
There's just certain things that I do on stage or in my show that I feel comfortable doing, whereas maybe, say, 10 years ago, I may not have felt as comfortable, say, talking in front of a crowd. But,
those things
come with rehearsal. And if somebody asked me one time, they said, well, what advice would you give to anybody who's trying to sing or getting up on stage? I always tell them, just understand what you're singing about, whether it's, again, fluff or whether it's a, stone-cold country serious song where, people are just in absolute agony or heartbreak. You just have to understand those things. And for many artists, you have to go through a lot of those things prior to singing or writing about them to get the point across.
It's so true, because if you could sing the saddest country song, the most meaningful one, but if you're only singing it technically correct and kind of pretty, it's not going to move people the way, for example, when you sang Raymond, we could hear the emotion in your voice. So there was, you were really delivering it in a way that touched us.
Some songs are written to be sung to the point where it's almost absurd how emotional you can get, inside the song. I mean, for example, from the time I started to the time I finished the song, it seemed to me like 5 seconds had gone by. But again, I'll lose myself in a song sometimes. A lot of times you have to be aware of your surroundings because you're on stage and people are watching and those kinds of things. But for the most part, you just have to understand what you're singing about. I think that's probably the most important.
Yeah, if you can get lost in a song, Ivan, yourself as the performer, we can see that because, you know, we're watching you up there singing, and we see your eyes, you know, misting over, or just we can see when you're right into the song, and, of course, that then translates to us getting more into the song.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
very
correct.
Cool.
And again,
now,
Ken,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say a lot of times you'll I've been to a bar where they've turned a ballad into an upbeat song and vice versa, you know.
Sure.
And it's really it's all about the lyrical content. It's always been about that, and it always will be. It's not so much
definitely
about who's your favorite singer. It's what's your favorite song. And I've got so many songs that I just love beyond almost absurdity. it kind of falls into a category of songs I can barely sing on stage to songs that I can't get off the stage without singing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know what you mean about loving songs that much to the point of almost obsession. I mean, I'm similar with songs, and as I'm sure many of our listeners are, that they just become such a big part of your life, and you just kind of have to listen to them over and over sometimes. In our remaining moments, though, Ivan, I wanted to let our listeners know. Now, it's Sunday, April 22nd, Canada's Got Talent. It's the semifinals, so you're back on the show to compete. Is there eliminations that night?
That particular night, no. That's on the 22nd are the performances, and then after the show's over, we need to get people to vote for their favorite, and then at that point, we find out the next night who's going through to the finals and who, unfortunately, is going to be sent home.
Right, and for our listeners' sake, how many are we down to now, contestants, going into the semifinals?
Right now, let me see, the first round was 7, the second round was 7, so 10 have gone home, so we have 4 in the finals right now, and that would mean that we've gone from 39, we've cut 10, so we're down to 29, and then every Sunday until the finale. So we're looking at a huge 2-hour finale. It's going to be on City TV, for those of you who may not know, I think it's going to be a huge, you know, extraordinary finale, and there's going to be a dozen acts, and it's just going to be mind-blowing, for lack of a better term.
Awesome. Canada's Got Talent is the show. Now, have you decided on the song? Maybe you can't tell us, but have you got the song chosen for the 22nd?
Oh, I definitely have the song chosen. We're going to keep that under wraps. We're going to make it a surprise.
Sure, that's a good idea. Can you tell us if it's a up-tempo, a slow song, anything like that, or...?
It is a great story song. It's not quite as let's call it ballady as the song Raymond, but I can tell you this much about the song. It talks about some of the greatest things in life.
Awesome. We will look forward to that Sunday, April 22nd. Ivan Daigle, the website is ivandaigle.com. As we get set to wrap up here, are we expecting a new album from you anytime soon? We did hear that one song, the great song, You Can Stop the Music. Full album coming up anytime soon?
Well, we're always in the in the songwriting stage at this point.
Right.
I write with Larry on a regular, semi-regular basis. I would say at least once or twice a month we'll get together via Skype. I've met an extraordinary gentleman by the name of Terry Fernio in Ontario, whom I've written a couple of songs with. A young man by the name, and I say young man because I'm probably twice his age, a young man by the name of Doug Falkins, again, who I feel is a real, really good, solid songwriter. For the most part, right now we're just always trying to come up with the best songs. In the immediate future, I don't see an album, in the next month or two, but hopefully, if this Canada's Got Talent thing works out for me, hopefully, we might be able to get the wheels rolling a little faster than we had anticipated.
Definitely. Very exciting stuff. Thanks, Ivan, for coming on the show. It's been great catching up and hearing the new song, and I'll be watching on the 22nd and wishing you all the best as that comes up.
All right, Dave. I appreciate that very much. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook as well. Feel free to follow us on Twitter. It's just at Ivan Daigle. Can't miss it.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, be sure to do that because it's so great to get messages from fans and viewers of the show for you. My guest tonight has been Ivan Daigle. Once again, you can head to ivandaigle.com to learn more about him. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.